I mean, everything goes through him. Everything we do starts with his confidence in what we do. He already has confidence himself. He's an elite player. But what we do to make sure that we're building it to where when he gets ready to go on Sunday, he can perform at an elite level and let his talent shine, that he's worked so hard to get to this point, which he really has. And he said it. I read it yesterday. He really is just – he's still coming. He's still a young player, really a quarterback in my mind.
That's Todd Monken on his quarterback. His quarterback won't be 29 until the postseason. Postseason. He's going to play the entire regular season at the age of 28. He turns 29 January the 7th. When's the last game? Regular season game. Joseph has a schedule back there.
What do you got, Joe?
TBA right now.
Okay, well, what week is it, you know?
Yeah.
17, 18.
It's probably 18. Like right around you said. It's right. Hard to tell.
Yeah. So, I mean, that, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Last year, Lamar Jackson, I know these numbers have been spoken before. He completed 67% of his passes for 4,172 yards. 41 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. An amazing passer rating of 119.6, which led the league. His average yards per attempt led the league. For those of you who think he's nickels and dimes, 10.15. His yards average were 8.8, led the league as well. So can we say that Lamar Jackson is just entering his prime as a passer?
I think so. I mean, I really believe that, and it's been, we haven't had him in this league for all that long, and at some point, you're going to reach where your pinnacle is, and it's how long can you stay at that level or be close to that level, right? I don't know that he'll ever throw 41 touchdowns and 4 picks in a season.
Right.
But I would not be shocked if he came in this year and threw 45 and 3 interceptions, because I think he's that good. And I say this every year. I didn't want Lamar on the team. I did not want them to draft him. Not because I thought he was a bad player, but I wanted them to go in a different direction with players in that draft.
Right.
Especially when they drafted Hayden Hurst first. I'm going, you guys could have drafted Derwin James and had the best safety in the league, and you draft this cat, and then all of a sudden trade back in. I said, this is what you're doing. You watch Lamar year one, and you're going, some of this is fun, but really, this is going to be your offense moving forward. And then year two, it's like, no. As I've said before, Happy learned how to putt. Like, not that he didn't know how to throw. It's just like they took the reins off of him and said, hey, let's see what you can do.
I think they took the reins off him. But I think if Lamar, if you ask Lamar to admit it, he did what Michael Vick didn't do. He worked on his game.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar Jackson is a better passer now than he was when he first got drafted. It's not just, oh, we let him do this and he could always do it. I don't think he could always do it at this level. I thought he was always a proficient NFL passer. He's now an elite NFL passer.
Yeah.
I don't think he was elite when he got drafted. He was good enough. Lamar Jackson is what many people thought he would not be, a worker. Lamar Jackson is what many people thought he was not, very intelligent. You put those two things together. You put an intelligent football player, intelligent individual, and hard work together. Oh, by the way, he might be the best athlete in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Those three things are combustible. Those three things are just insane. So as the physical ability starts to level out a little bit, which does when you start getting to your 30s and all, now he becomes more cerebral. Man, whoa. Lamar Jackson's passing numbers moving forward, Jeremy, may break passing records.
And it's funny, too, because, again, I've been one of these guys for years that say wins and losses don't go by quarterback's name. But I'm a Peyton Manning truther, and I don't know there's been a guy that's had a greater impact on the entire offense than Lamar Jackson. Like, it doesn't have to be Derrick Henry back there, but you see when you put one of the best running backs in football next to him, what happens?
Yeah.
Like, I've talked about these efficiency charts that Warren Sharp puts out all the time,
right.
And there's always these one dots all the way up in the right-hand corner, and you see Derrick Henry's name or Lamar Jackson's name there, and what is it? What makes it so different? It's because they've been so efficient. When you're talking about quarterback numbers and why I get in this MVP race BS that happened last year was because he was so off the charts good. He had a higher ADOT. His numbers were better than Josh Allen's across the board except for rushing touchdowns, because for once in his life, he didn't have to rush the ball inside the 5-yard line. It's like, I got 22 back there. I'm going to give him the ball as many times as I can. And, you know, there's something to be said about that. Like, Could he be selfish down there and want to get some touchdowns for himself and get it? Of course he could.
It gets me how people or the Lamar haters. Well, he had that great year because he had Derrick Henry. Do you all actually research anything? Derrick Henry put up some of the best numbers of his career because he had Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at this, the iron sharpens iron. This thing wasn't one sided. You know, I mean, you look, Derrick Henry's numbers went back to his youth days because he had number eight back there with him.
Lamar Jackson made Derrick Henry a better runner because of that mesh point and what he's capable of.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry made Lamar Jackson a better passer because of the play action pass. It's a win-win. Hand in hand.
Yeah, why are you making this thing sound one-sided? I mean,
because when you need to debate this, and let's say you're a Bills fan that wants to tell you, oh, you had Derrick Henry, and then it's like, well, go back to this year and look at this year when he won the MVP, and this guy had a better number. Okay, go back and look at all of it. Like, I just had an argument with somebody who was saying Dak Prescott should have won the MVP, Lamar's second one, and I'm going, hey, come on, man.
Hey, by the way, when Lamar won his second one, he didn't have Derrick Henry.
He doesn't need him to win an MVP.
No.
He just should have got his third one with him. That's all it was.
It's like we can't. It goes back to the whole thing about us trading in Major League Baseball. We can't have a situation where both sides win. Somebody's got to lose.
I got news for you. According to a lot of people out there, no matter what Mike Elias does at the trade deadline,
he's going to lose.
Oh, that's a terrible trade.
And according to some people, no matter what Lamar Jackson does, it's never going to be good enough.
I saw someone. God,
they may be
it?
The same people.
Mets fans were going, Orioles got fleeced. And then other people, there were writers around it when they made the trade with Soto. And you said Soto had a nice,
last night.
Nice outing last night. And they were saying he's got fleeced. And people are going, I see other people that have no idea what they're talking about go, I've never even heard of these two guys that the Orioles traded for. Yeah, because they're minor leaguers.
Yeah.
Guess who else hasn't heard of them? A lot of freaking people. Even Mets fans haven't heard of some of these guys.
The baseball experts like the trade. Yes,
but I'm saying like there's so many people out there that have an opinion. You're allowed to have your opinion, but it's based on nothing. There's no facts whatsoever. I've never heard of him, so he must be bad.
Yeah. The baseball experts like the trade. I mean, everything I've read from baseball people.
As they said, they got one surefire thing, and then they have another one where it's like, hey, if this hits, it's going to be boom, but we don't know if it's going to hit.
But don't you think in that situation, as long as you get one surefire thing for Soto, that's good?
Man, I'm okay with taking shots on anybody with upside. Like, people are bitching about the Vance Honeycutt pick because he's not hitting right now. They took him because they took him on upside where they were drafting, saying, if this works out, he could become an amazing power hitter. I got no issues with a lot of the things that went on. There are some free agent signings that I would complain about with the Orioles, but I'm not in that group with a lot of people that want Elias gone.